Your industry is unique. It faces its own challenges and risks that set it apart. That means choosing just any insurance company just won't cut it. At The Hartford, we take pride in knowing the ins and outs of your industry and help provide solutions that suit how you do business. From liability and property insurance to workers' comp and more. At The Hartford, we don't just talk about specialization, we live it. Learn how The Hartford can help your business at thehartford.com.
You know success when you see it, or you think you do, the people in the spotlight. But what about those small business masterminds who succeed at making their money work harder? They do that by having a business bank account with QuickBooks Money, which now earns 5% annual percentage yield. Making your money work as hard as you do? That's how you business differently. Learn more about QuickBooks Money at quickbooks.com/5APY. Banking services provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Only funds and envelopes earn APY. APY can change at any time.
Meet Gary. Gary's about to become an Einstein in an instant.
Whoa, Einstein hair. I like it.
That's right, Gary, because you're using Salesforce powered by Einstein AI to connect data, predict business trends, generate personalized content, and wow customers.
I do feel a lot smarter.
Because you're not just Gary anymore. You're Gary, empowered by Einstein AI.
Did you hear that, team? I'm an Einstein.
Oh, can I get a selfie?
The number one AI CRM. Now everyone's an Einstein with Salesforce.
So welcome to another exciting episode of the Vanguards of Healthcare podcast series. My name is Matt Henriksen, the medical technology analyst at Bloomberg Intelligence, which is the in-house equity research platform of Bloomberg. We are pleased to have with us today Quentin Blackford, CEO of iRhythm, a medical device company that is a key leader in the long-term cardiac monitors to detect arrhythmias. You can dive deeper into the financials by typing in IRTC Equity Go on your Bloomberg terminal. Quentin, thank you for joining us again, and welcome back.
Well, thanks, Matt. I appreciate the opportunity to be here and excited to spend some time together.
Absolutely. And when we last spoke, some of the kind of the key topics that we were talking about was just reimbursement. We talked about the broad overview of Zio XT and how it's comparable to kind of the more older traditional technology of Holter monitors, and the initial reaction to the Camelot data that came out last spring. So maybe why don't we just start though with the current state of arrhythmias and how those trends have changed over the last 12 months, and then what iRhythm offers that differentiates itself from the rest of the market.
Sure, would love to talk through each one of those points, but maybe before I dive into that question, Matt, I'd love to just take an opportunity to give your listeners a little bit of a overview of who it is that we are here at iRhythm in the case that maybe they aren't as familiar. And, at the highest level, we're a digital healthcare company that is leveraging the power of artificial intelligence to provide a better ability to predict, to detect, to ultimately we want to prevent disease for our patients. And we're completely redefining the way that cardiac arrhythmias are diagnosed. You hit on it relative to the Holter monitors that have been out there for decades now, and we're transforming that space. We began to do this a little more than a decade ago when we pioneered a patch-based technology that you wear off of your chest to monitor the cardiac arrhythmias. And we now hold nearly 70% of that long-term cardiac patch-based market share, and we're growing right around 20%. A year, which has us very excited because there's a tremendous amount of market runway that still sits in front of us. I think one of the things that makes us most unique, though, is that we're more than just simply a product company. We're a platform technology that is informed by billions of hours of curated ECG data, advanced AI capabilities, and an end-to-end service capability that delivers really a differentiated experience to our customers. That's how we set ourselves apart. We're not just another patch as we see other folks coming into this marketplace. And because of the platform, because of the billions of hours of data that sit behind our algorithms, we've been able to earn the physician's trust in a meaningful way. As a matter of fact, 99% of the time, a physician is going to agree with the report and the recommended diagnosis that we make. So we're incredibly excited with the progress that we've made, but at the same time, we feel like we're just getting started. And maybe that brings me to your question of, you know, where are we at in terms of the state of arrhythmias? You know, to help the audience understand, an arrhythmia is simply it's an irregular heartbeat, you know, where your heart may be beating a bit too quickly, maybe it's a bit too slow, or maybe it's all over the place. It's just irregular. And studies would tell us that nearly 5% of the general population in the U.S. alone experience some sort of arrhythmias. And we know that if arrhythmias are present and if they're not treated, we know they can damage the heart, they can damage the brain and other significant organs within the body, which is what we want to ultimately avoid for our patients. In many cases, these arrhythmias can even lead to things like stroke or death, which obviously we want to avoid. AFib or atrial fibrillation is probably the most common of those arrhythmias, and it's the one that we diagnose most often. Today, there's roughly 6 million people in the U.S. who have AFib. The CDC projects that by 2030, that number is probably going to double to nearly 12 million folks. So again, the market is expanding in a significant way. But even more important than that is the fact that, you know, 1 in 3 people don't even know that they have AFib. And we know that AFib in particular leads to a 5-fold increase in the risk of stroke. It's a 3-fold increase in the risk of heart failure. And at the end of the day, it's easily treatable if we know that it's there, which speaks to the importance of monitoring. And so that's what we're after. That's what we're trying to improve in the healthcare landscape, is the ability to find these arrhythmias earlier, sooner, and ultimately improve the outcomes of health for our patients.
Well, that's interesting, because you mentioned the, you know, a kind of comprehensive service. It's not just a patch. It's the whole comprehensive service, because there's a few press releases that you came out with. One of them was talking about the CE mark for the newest Zio monitor, and we can go into that a little bit. Mm-hmm. But, you know, what I caught my attention was the Zeus system within it. And you know, it's a, maybe I'll let you describe to the listeners what the Zeus system is, and maybe you can also just provide how that's an upgrade from kind of older technology and how that differentiates you from the competition.
Yeah. And so when you think about the Zeus system, the Zeus part of our platform is really the artificial intelligence. It's the algorithms that are powering, the results that ultimately find their way into the report that we provide back to the physician that recommend a diagnosis based upon what we're seeing. And we're now on our second generation of an FDA approved algorithm that are powering our devices. What's important is that our AI is different than other AI in this space. We're a deep neural network. We've moved well beyond sort of the expert rule capability of artificial intelligence or the machine learning capabilities to these true deep neural networks that are learning off of themselves as the data pools continue to get bigger and bigger. And that really sets ourselves apart. You know, today we have nearly 40 peer-reviewed, independent, peer-reviewed publications that stand behind our technology and articulate the differentiation of it. We have nearly 100 scientific research papers that are out there defending or articulating the value that Zio and the Zeus platform ultimately delivers to our patients. So it's highly unique. It's highly differentiated. We spend a lot of time saying, look, we're not just another patch company. There's a lot of patch companies who have tried to come into this space, given how large the market opportunity is and believing that, you know, they can disrupt it. But the reality is we're very different. And that probably leads us into another discussion point around the Camelot study, which was a data set that was published not too long ago, but we'll probably get into that a little bit later. But it starts to articulate exactly how unique Zio is relative to our competitors.
Well, actually, I was actually thinking about the Camelot as you were talking about just now, because the journal article specified that not only is it the long-term cardiac monitors that outperform, but it's specifically iRhythm that outperforms not only the older technology, but other long-term cardiac monitors. So maybe we can dive a little bit into that right now. And just, you know, there's a few things that I that caught my attention. First is that one, the data came out last year. It came out at ACC, and we even talked a little bit about it last year. So maybe one is, what is your sense of how doctors initially adopted that the technology once the data came out, or what has been their feedback from that data as they kind of start changing their practices?
Yeah, and I think certainly the physicians have seen it and reacted to it, and we'll talk about that, but also the payers. The payers are starting to see the data that came through the CAMELOT study and the differentiation relative to the different products that are in it, but more specifically, the differentiation that Zio demonstrated when compared against the competitive products that were in the market. But maybe before we go there, just to help frame up what the CAMELOT study was, you know, it was a retrospective look at nearly 300,000 patients in the CMS data set. And it was focused on finding those patients that were completely unaware of having any arrhythmia. And then from the first point in time that they had some sort of a diagnostic tool utilized on them, might have been a Holter monitor, might have been an event recorder, might have been a mobile cardiac telemetry device, or a long-term cardiac monitor like ourselves, they began to measure the downstream impacts of those tools. And what they found was that the Zio monitor, Zio XT in particular, was able to find the arrhythmias at the highest diagnostic yield of any other competitive product that was out there. We had the lowest retest rate required to find arrhythmias than any others, and that's because we're finding them sooner. And we also had the lowest healthcare resource utilization or cost associated with our product, which speaks to the fact that we removed the downstream cost of care for these patients. What was really interesting about that CAMELOT study was the fact that not only did it compare long-term cardiac patch-based monitoring to other modalities like MCT or event recorders or their Holter monitor, but it compared them to our competitors in those categories as well. And so we got a true head-to-head analysis of Zio XT compared to our competitors. And it was unequivocally clear that Zio was far and away the most superior product in this space. And so what's happened now is physicians have seen that, and it's caught their attention. They're beginning to have a lot more discussion around that with us. They're proactively reaching out, wanting to learn more. But importantly, the payers are seeing the same thing. And we've seen some early results where we see step therapies being removed in terms of the requirement to get onto our Zio monitor product. Maybe historically they required the use of a 12-lead ECG device or a 12-lead Holter monitor. Well, now those step-through requirements are being removed where we can go straight to patching with those payer populations. So we've had a significant amount of success with it. We're incredibly excited by what it showed. And we now have a very large commercial payer who's asked us to replicate that same sort of look at their own data sets that I think has the potential to really continue to move markets when we continue to demonstrate why Zio truly is best in class.
Oh, that's interesting. Will that data potentially be presented in the same way CAMELOT is at an upcoming conference?
We'll decide how we ultimately put that into the marketplace. You should expect to see something here in 2024 around it. But exactly how we put it in the marketplace, I think that's something that we're still working through, but it will be made public, yes.
Okay. And then, you know, coming back to CAMELOT, you know, the journal article just came out about a month ago or so. Has that reignited awareness for the clinical data? Have there been people, doctors who had not heard of the CAMELOT before and then just came like, oh, this journal article came out. This looks interesting.
Certainly it's increased the awareness. I think the amount of inbound inquiries that we're taking around, you know, the publication in the American Heart Journal has created that increased awareness, but it's also validated the fact that, you know, it's been published in an independent, peer-reviewed, very prestigious publication is something that creates awareness to it. And so again, yes, the inbound interest from a physician's perspective, but also these administrators that sit within these payers are beginning to reach out, wanting to talk about it and learn more about it, which again, those have the potential to really move the needle for our product and our position in the marketplace.
All right. And then, you know, the other thing that I heard from just how you were explaining the CAMELOT to our listeners is that it was the Zio XT, which is the older generation patch. And we now have the Zio monitor. Correct me if I got the dates wrong, but the FDA approval came out in September and the CE mark in Europe just came out in January. So how is that device different from the XT that was used in the Camelot study?
Yes, and you're right on your dates. Okay. September with the FDA approval and just recently here with EU approval, which again, we're excited to take this product into the EU marketplace. But you know, to your point, the Zio monitor is sort of the next generation of our Zio XT product. So serves the same space in the market itself, but it's now much smaller, much lighter, and much thinner than what the XT product was. As a matter of fact, it's 72% smaller overall. It weighs less than a pencil. And what that means is that ultimately it provides a much better experience for our customers, our patients in particular. We have 99% patient compliance with our prescribed wear period, which means that 99% of the time they're wearing it out to 14 days. And we know the longer duration of monitoring, the longer you go, the more likely it is that you're going to find these dangerous arrhythmias if they're present, because most arrhythmias are frankly episodic. They're not happening, you know, continuously all of the time. They happen in episodes, and the longer duration that you monitor, the more likely that you're going to find them. So we launched our monitor product back in September. The launch results have been phenomenal. I'll be honest with you. It's probably moved a bit more quickly than what we had anticipated and had hoped for in terms of the move off of XT to the monitor. That's a great problem to have for us over time, but it also creates a little bit of challenges in that we're trying to work through some existing inventory positions on our XT product. But again, it's being driven by market demand. It's what the customers want. We're going to meet the customers where they want to be met and make sure they're getting the monitor product. But we couldn't be more happy about it.
Yeah. And so now you have the Camelot data, you know, the at least the published journal version of the data. You have Zio Monitor. Walk us through the strategy for 2024 to expanding the use of Zio, maybe within kind of your traditional pool of physicians, and also expanding it to newer ones.
Yeah, well, you hit on something that's very, very important to us, and it's part of our core strategy, which is market expansion. We've developed the monitor in a way that makes it so easy to use for our physicians, but more importantly, our customers, that we believe it ought to be prescribed earlier in the care pathway. And I think we're beginning to see this in the marketplace. As you know, there's a lot of challenges within the existing healthcare systems and the healthcare space itself, just from a staffing perspective. Nursing shortages, as an example, create situations where patients are having to wait multiple weeks, if not months on end, to get in and ultimately see a physician. One of the things that we're seeing with our product is it's beginning to be seen as a workflow efficiency tool. And the way that it shows up, the way that it happens, is the cardiologist understands that if they have a Zio report, if they have the data from the patient before the patient ever shows up, they can easily identify whether they need to see that patient or whether it's a patient that frankly probably doesn't need to move on to a cardiologist. So then the point is, how do we get the patch on the patient earlier? And what we're seeing is the cardiologist and the EPs in these networks begin to bring the primary care physician into the discussion and articulate how easy it is to prescribe this product, and now have the product begin to be prescribed by the primary care physician. And when that happens, it allows the patch to get placed on a patient much earlier in the care pathway. And then it allows the report to be generated, and that cardiologist or that EP can go into our Zio Suite system, look at the report, and determine, do I really need to see this patient, or are they better off being sent down a different care pathway? And I think that when that continues to sort of play out, now we're talking about expanding the market in a meaningful way, because today there's roughly 6.5 million ambulatory cardiac monitoring tests being prescribed primarily by cardiologists and EPs. But there's 15 million patients showing up in the primary care offices in the U.S. today that have cardiac specific palpitations already noted in their medical records. And my belief is, as we move up into that primary care channel, given how easy it is to use the product, you're going to see the patch begin to get placed onto a larger part of that population that have those cardiac palpitations noted in their medical records. And that has the potential to double, you know, more than double the size of the market that we serve today. So that's incredibly, incredibly exciting for us. And it's a big part of our strategic push to move further upstream into the primary care channel. And we're doing it in two different ways, really. I noted the one, which is to work directly with our cardiologists and EPs who bring the primary care physician into the discussion and allow us to go further upstream in these networks. But the other way is to go right at these large national primary care networks that have been developed, the One Medicals, folks like an Oak Street or a Signify, an MDVIP, for example, to go right at them at the national level and contract with them and let them bring us down into their primary care physician offices. And we're having wonderful success with that. I would say we're in the top of the first inning in terms of the potential opportunity that sits there. But that's something that has us very excited when we think about primary care.
Now, when you talk about workflow as well, though, I mean, I'm trying to envision someone with a heart palpitation goes to their primary care physician and they get a Zio patch. Is some of the workflow related to the fact, because when I go in for my physical, they bring in that big ECG machine, and it requires a nurse to come in and perform that 30-second test. Now it sounds like the doctor could just write a prescription for the Zio patch, and then it just gets delivered, and then the patient just puts it on without having to have that extra nurse go in to do that extra job for her. She can do something else instead. I also see it as you're talking about the payer's perspective, that if you can test the patient with a Zio patch, the primary care physician isn't automatically going to send you over to the cardiologist right away. They might say, hey, let's do this Zio patch. And then the Zio patch might say, no, nothing to worry about, that we're not detecting any arrhythmias. You don't have to go to the cardiologist yet. That saves the payer time and money for having a cardiologist then look at the case. Am I looking at those kind of two pathways?
Spot on?
Okay.
You're exactly right, Matt. As a matter of fact, when you get out and you speak with some of these large networks who are moving up into the primary care pathway, one of the best things that they can find is when they place the patch on a patient and they learn that that patient doesn't need to get referred on to cardiology. Because prior to doing that, prior to having placed that patch on that patient, they would have sent that patient to cardiology, and then they would have learned, you know, after they visited the cardiologist, that they really didn't need to go there. And that takes tremendous cost and time, to the system. And so that's what we're able to avoid. And so we love it when we're able to better identify what patients need to move on, you know, in that care pathway to see a specialist, and frankly, those that don't. But that's the value of patching earlier in the care pathway to help control the workflow in the care pathway for that patient, which ultimately reduces the cost of care. And so you hit it spot on. That's exactly the way to think about it. And then your first example, where it just reduces sort of the utilization requirements of the nurse, is the other way to think about it. You know, our product is so easy to apply that in many cases, we'll just send it directly to the home of the patient. They'll apply it at home, wear it for the 2 weeks, and then we'll electronically submit the report back to the physician's office, and they can do all of that, you know, right through electronic records and don't have to see that patient come back in again. So again, it's tremendous efficiency in the system that we're beginning to see the tool be recognized for. And I think, again, it has the potential just to meaningfully expand the markets that we serve.
Okay. And then what are the steps needed for these kind of market expansion opportunities? Is it just a change in the guidelines? Is a change in how payers reimburse it? Just kind of what are the steps that need to go from the 6.5 million tests that are now to that 15 million figure you referenced?
I think more than anything, Matt, it's creating awareness. It's helping the primary care physicians understand just how easy it is to use this product. And also, you know, helping the cardiologist and EPs understand that, look, if you're not comfortable having the primary care physician actually diagnose off the report itself, well, they can still prescribe the product and we'll put the report in Zio Suite, and you as a cardiologist or EP can still go review that report in Zio Suite and make the diagnosis yourself. And so it creates a lot of flexibility in this model, but it's more than anything else, awareness. We just started down this path in the last 12 months in terms of really targeting the primary care physician, and we're having wonderful success, again, you know, within the networks we're in, but also going right at these large national primary care networks. They see the value of proactively patching these patients and understanding what's really going on. I think the other thing, and we began to get after this about 24 months ago, was access. We knew that before we went into primary care with a significant push, we were going to have to make sure that there was access available to our product, meaning that when a patient was prescribed the product, they weren't then going to be denied by their payer. And so we put a lot of work, a lot of effort into ensuring access was there. Today, 93% of all covered lives in the U.S. can get a Zio XT or a Zio monitor now without any prior authorization required at all. And so we've made access very easy for them.
Interesting. And then how about on the more the, your business model side? Has there been a need to ramp up the sales force to reach out to these primary care physicians?
No, not at all. And that's been a very important part of how we think about expansion into primary care. Our goal is not to go out and build a primary care sales force that only targets that primary care physician. That's not our approach into that space. Our approach has been to lever the relationships that we have in our existing accounts with our cardiologists, with our EPs. We value them, you know, more than anybody else, and we want to continue to ensure that they see Zio as the superior product in the marketplace. And so we spend a lot of time cultivating and ensuring those relationships are strong, but then we lever those relationships to have them begin to pull the primary care physician into the discussion with us. And so that is sort of a bottoms up approach, working within the existing networks that we're a part of across the US, which we're in, you know, the majority of networks today. And then the other approach has been more going right at sort of the C-suite, if you will, of these large national primary care networks, where we contract at a single, you know, point in command, and then they push us down through their national networks. And with that approach, we believe we can address nearly 65% of all primary care physicians who are out there in the States today. And I believe as that population begins to use this product, those primary care physicians that maybe we haven't been able to reach directly are going to see what the other, you know, primary care physicians are doing out across the landscape. And they're going to begin to ask those questions. They're going to begin to look to do something similar. And naturally, they just begin to come along. So that's been our approach on how we're getting after it. And today it's been very successful, but it hasn't required a significant add in terms of sales reps or commercial force.
All right. And then, you know, the other aspect of, you know, the business is the product development side. I mean, we've talked about the Zio monitor. We've talked about Zeus. Two of the products we haven't talked about really have been the Zio watch, and as well as the Zio MCT development. Maybe what we can kind of close out this chat with kind of talking about how those products can help the overall product portfolio, and then just expand awareness of arrhythmias or arrhythmia detection.
Yeah, so maybe let me hit Zio MCT first, and then we'll talk about Zio Watch. Zio MCT is a new product that's in development today, and frankly, it will ultimately replace what we call our Zio AT product that is in the marketplace today. But Zio AT and Zio MCT both compete or will compete in the MCT space of the market overall, which is about probably $1 billion market opportunity at the end of the day. And we only have about 7% market share in that space as we speak, yet we have 70% market share in the long-term, you know, patch market itself. And so we see a real opportunity to close the gap there. But our AT product is not as competitive as we would like it to be. Clinically, it delivers outstanding results, but it's designed today to be a 14-day product. And we know that most folks, when they're monitoring MCT patients, they want to monitor up to 30 days. And so we'll extend the duration of the monitoring capability. At the same time with MCT, you know, all of our competitors offer a downgradable solution, which is important in MCT, because if an MCT patient ultimately gets denied coverage, which 70% of all patients' payer policies require a prior authorization, if they get denied, then they can, through software, just downgrade them into an event recorder, as an example. We are not able to do that with our product today. And so that's something that we're looking to build into the capability into the future as well. And we should get on file with the FDA in the back part of this year, should have us with a product in the market in the back half of 2025. And so that that has us super excited because every 10 points of share in that market is somewhere between $80 to $100 million of revenue. And if we can disclose our 7% market share we have today to somewhere closer to the 70% we have in the long-term cardiac monitoring space, you can do the math, but it generates a meaningful increase to our annual revenue stream. And so we're very excited by that and something that we have at the very top of our priority list.
But as more just back to the MCT, I know that you guys provided your 2027 $1 billion sales target, and you're at, you know, you're guiding for about $580 million for 2024. The numbers that you just gave for kind of the penetration from 7% to 70% makes that 580 to the 1 billion even more feasible than as it is currently.
No question. I think, you know, we feel very good about the path to a billion and being able to deliver that out of the core markets that we serve. I think that, you know, with MCT getting a truly unique differentiated product there that is best in class is going to only increase the likelihood of delivering it and frankly give us the opportunity to out-deliver. So it gives us a lot of excitement, and there's a reason it's the top priority in our company. We have a lot of conviction in what we can do with that product in time.
Yeah. And then the only other thing with the MCT is just, I know that there is that FDA warning letter with the Zio AT. How does working through that warning letter with the FDA, how does that alter the timeline? When you're talking about back half of 2025, is that already incorporating your work with the FDA?
Yeah, it does already incorporate that work. You know, unfortunately, the work that we're doing to remedy the concerns within the warning letter did have an impact on our MCT timelines. We actually were excited to potentially have that out in the market here in 2024. But as a result of the warning letter and navigating through that, it did push the timelines to the back part of 25. So that timeline is reflective of our best estimate and knowing the work that we have done to address the concerns of the warning letter. Feel pretty confident in that timeline. And, you know, with respect to the warning letter, I couldn't be more pleased with the progress there. We just got our 2 510Ks on file with the FDA specific to the Zio AT product. They were looking for a catch-up 510K relative to some letter-to-file decisions that the company had made, you know, historically. And so we've been working very closely with them and very happy with the relationship that we've built there. But I think the key thing is we've got those 510Ks on file and should have those through the approval process by the mid part of the year. Importantly, we continue to sell that Zio AT product as we work with the FDA through the questions that they had. So feel good about where we sit there and the progress being made. And ultimately, you know, back to MCT, we couldn't be more excited about the potential of getting that product in the market in the back part of 25.
That's great to hear. And then, you know, the last one is just the Zio Watch. You know, and one of the main things that I'm just curious about is, you know, with the Zio Watch, I'm envisioning wearing that device, you know, more than 14 days, more than 21 days. And then I'm also thinking about an Apple Watch that has like an atrial fibrillation detection feature to it. How do I compare the two there? And then what does the patient do when he has a Zio watch that detects something and he goes to the cardiologist? Does the cardiologist then provide a Zio patch as a confirmatory test, or does he just take, are you envisioning the Zio watch to be you know, the test that the cardiologist then uses to make his decisions?
Yeah, you know, it's a great question. And our Zio watch and our capabilities off of a wearable on the wrist are very different than say the Apple Watch. You know, the Apple Watch is much more of a wellness device, which will identify when an arrhythmia might be present, but they're not diagnosing or then they're not providing a diagnostic tool to a physician to diagnose off the Apple Watch itself. Our Zio Watch is unique in that it is a diagnostic tool, and it's been approved by the FDA as a diagnostic tool, which is very different than any of the other wearables that are out there. And so when a patient wears the Zio Watch in the future, There's not going to be a need to place a patch on that patient after they've worn that Zio watch. That watch will provide all the information necessary to perform the diagnosis. And so that's how it's unique, how it's different. I think that, you know, one of the really interesting things with the watch is it starts to give you all sorts of flexibility around duration of wear. Today we focus on 14 days of wear. An MCT product will focus on 30 days of wear. An implantable loop recorder will provide 4 years of information. But the reality is that the vast majority of patients who are recommended to have an implantable loop recorder don't want to have an implant. And so will they wear a diagnostic grade wearable like our Zio watch for an extended period of time? I believe the likelihood is very high that they will. So it starts to afford the ability to monitor well beyond 30 days. You know, it could be 3 months, could be 6 months. Really could be any duration that is determined by the physician. And that's the flexibility that our watch ultimately provides. And importantly, you know, the algorithms that sit within the watch have been approved by the FDA sort of independent of the wearable itself, which means we can drop those algorithms onto other wearables and other forms of wearables as we go forward. That really expands the universe of where we can play from a wearable perspective. And we are very excited by that as well.
Well, that's interesting because, yeah, I mean, I feel like someone who likes to wear watches may not want to have a Zio watch for that reason. But if it's a different type of wearable, then he could utilize that technology while still having his nice watch on.
You're exactly right, Matt. And I think that's why you start to hear us talking not only about the Zio watch, but about something like a Zio band, for example, right? But I'm similar to you. If I have a nice watch that I like to wear, or sometimes even my Apple watch that I like to wear, I'm probably not going to put another watch on my other wrist. But I would be more than happy to put a band on my other wrist and be able to monitor through that. So I do think the form factor is something that we pay very close attention to. Something other than just a watch will be important to us in terms of taking full opportunity of what sits in front of us.
Yeah. Now that I'm kind of, you know, summarizing everything that we just talked about, sounds like there's a lot going on in 2024. And, you know, from a kind of a, you know, as you, from an equity research side, the catalyst that I'm kind of hearing about is we may hear some commentary about the claims data from that one payer you mentioned. We may hear news that the MCT device has been submitted to the FDA for review. Is there anything else in the next 12 to 18 months that you would want the listeners and myself to be aware of, to keep an eye out for?
Yeah, well, I think certainly the Camelot data that we discussed, the MCT, you know, product, getting that on file with the FDA and ultimately to approval. We think about the readiness of entering into the Japanese market, the second largest market in the world, 1.5 million ACM tests being performed every year. And there's not a patch really being used in that marketplace today. And excitingly there, we work directly with the MHLW and have received a high medical needs designation specific to Zio in that marketplace. And so we'll be ready to launch into that marketplace back part of this year, early part of next year, that certainly has us excited. And there's a handful of countries that we'll begin to sell into in the EU here in 2024 as well. So those all have us, you know, very focused and are keeping our teams very busy, but also have the potential to really move the needle in some exciting ways. And you couple that with the expansion into primary care, and we couldn't be more excited about our future here at iRhythm.
Well, I was about to say, yeah, there's a lot of exciting updates over the last 12 months. And I look forward to having you come back 12 months from now and kind of seeing what the new updates are. But Quentin, thank you for coming in today. I always enjoy hearing the iRhythm story from you.
Well, thanks for the opportunity to be back with you. And I'm already looking forward to the next time. So take care and continue to do a great job.
Great. And thank you to our listeners for tuning in today. We hope you join us for future episodes. And if you want to stay up to date, please click the subscribe button on your Spotify or your favorite streaming platform. Take care.
Your industry is unique. It faces its own challenges and risks that set it apart. That means choosing just any insurance company just won't cut it. At The Hartford, we take pride in knowing the ins and outs of your industry and help provide solutions that suit how you do business. From liability and property insurance to workers' comp and more. At The Hartford, we don't just talk about specialization, we live it. Learn how The Hartford can help your business at thehartford.com.
Johann Schmiegel, you've got the world's highest IQ.
Yes, 247.
Wow, did you know that thanks to Salesforce with Einstein AI, everyone's smarter? Now everyone's an Einstein, just like you.
But I'm the smartest.
Not anymore. With connected data and trusted AI, everyone can give customers experiences they've only dreamed of. Oh, look, here's a few Einsteins now.
Hey, hi.
Hola, amigo.
Everyone's an Einstein?
It's okay, Johann, let it happen. The number one AI CRM. Now everyone's an Einstein with Salesforce.
Top Thrill 2 is like no other course. Two 420-foot vertical speedways, three launches.
All right, let's talk strategy.
Copy that, driver. Go for maximum acceleration off the start.
Measure that.
You've got a short straightaway to push from 0 to 74 on the first vertical speedway.
And what about the rollback?
Rollback will set you up for an explosive reverse climb 420 feet in the sky so you reach 0 Gs in total weightlessness.
420 feet of straight-up speed. Let's get it.
Top Thrill 2, the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch strata coaster. Get your tickets at cedarpoint.com.